like to open tonight by singing the first two verses of 229, the first two verses. Will someone start that? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. I would like to talk tonight about the family that I belong to. In January of 1935, I was born into a family. That family grew. I was third child and the first member of that family. It grew to eight. And tonight, that family is three. That family has been subjected to death. And that family will never again exist as it did in those days when it was 89. For some time after that birth into that family, as far as I know, 23 years later to the day, I was born into another family. And that's the family I want to talk about today. Unlike my first family, the second family that I was born into has grown in number and will never diminish because of it. It's a family that exists and has what the scripture calls eternal life. That's far more than a life that does not end. But I want to talk about that family. And I read these parts of these three verses here because Mary, the Lord's mother, when the Lord was born to his mother, she was his mother. There came a time when some said to the Lord Jesus, they said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee." And he said on that occasion, "Who is my mother? And who is my brethren?" It's as if the Lord said, even the family that I was born into, that relationship is not an eternal relationship. But here, the rule of the cross, the Lord Jesus can look at a disciple, one who had come to know he was loved by Jesus. He could say in the language of his gospel, John 3, he'd been born again. Born into another family, and it's that family that the Lord takes note of in the shadows of the cross and commits his mother to John as his son, and commits John to Mary as his mother. A new family relationship. Paul speaks, you know, of a man who knew the Lord by the name of Rufus. He speaks of Rufus's mother, and Paul didn't belong to that family, but he said, "His mother and mine." Paul said of the word, "I belong to another family." And that's the family that I want to talk about tonight. And I wonder then tonight, do you belong to that family? The family that you were born into here on earth is a family that's subject to death and is going to die. It's just a question of those words, it came to pass. Every family, no matter what name it bears, every family here on earth is subject to death. And dear old friends, there is another family that you can be born into that is not subject to death. And I would like you tonight to be brought into that family. And it's that family that I want to talk about tonight. How can you get into that family? What are the features of that family? You know, I look back at my childhood and my family, and I'm glad I was born into that family. I wouldn't choose to have been born into another family. But at the close of my mother's life, she recognized that the Lord had taken me out of that family and put me into another family. And she said she wanted to get acquainted with those people who love their son so much. Now, tonight then, that's what marks the second family that I have been born into. It's marked by two things, love and life. Do you belong to that family? Well, I'd like to talk about it tonight. And, you know, we mentioned John. He wrote three epistles. I'd like to turn to his first epistle. And no writer in the scriptures comes close to speaking about love as often as John does. He loves to speak of love. Where did he learn it? He learned it leaning on the bosom of Jesus. And so he starts his first epistle, 1 John chapter 1, and he says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, our eyes which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. He'll be talking about them. John is saying, we have handled the word of life. Who is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the disciples, the 12, but he's talking about the Lord Jesus. He said, we have seen this life with our eyes. We've handled him, we've heard him, and we've seen him with our eyes. The Lord Jesus. Do you know that one, friends? Whom John describes as the word of life. You know, in him is life, and the life is the light of man. There's no life outside of this one. Have you seen him? How can you see him? You can see him, Paul says in the Epistle of Hebrews, by faith. Have you ever received the Lord Jesus into your heart by faith? That's what this question is all about. This family relationship can only be entered into by knowing this person that John describes as the word of life. There's no life in any other source. It's like John the Apostle saw Jesus. And he took the advice you might say of John Baptist, and he looked on Jesus as he walked. And he handled him, and he saw him, and he heard him, and he received from the Lord Jesus everlasting life. You belong to that family. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Well, if you don't belong to that family, you belong only to a family that's dying. These relationships are not eternal relationships. As wonderful as they are, they're in glory, they are not going to be the saints of God divided by natural family. The family of God. And that's the family I've been born into, that's the family I'm interested in. And that's the family that I would like you to be a part of tonight. So the life was manifested and we have seen it. You know, we don't usually think about seeing life. When someone dies, no one sees the departure of the spirit. They know one time they were alive and now they're dead. But here is a life that could be seen, could be looked upon, could be handled. They saw it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. When did this life begin? No, friend, it had no beginning. The beginning in the first verse is the beginning of the manifestation in a man of this life. But the life, eternal life, has no beginning. And it says it was with the Father. That is, the Son never became the Son. He is, as we say sometimes, the eternal Son of God. He didn't become the Son. He became a man and manifested in his body this eternal life that we could see it, we could hear it, we could handle it. Now have you received him? Now eternal life we come to know from John's writings is a Christian. It isn't something, you know, that a man said, what can I do that I may inherit eternal life? No, that's not the eternal life John's talking about. There's nothing you can do to inherit eternal life. Eternal life that John is talking about is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not have him, you do not have life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple. He that hath him, he hath John had him. John loved him, and John lay on his bosom, and he knew that he had. Well, it goes on, and he says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Why did he declare it to them? That he was the leader, but he declared it to them, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that he also may have fellowship with us, and through our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, friend, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you've been brought into this family, and it's a happy family. It's a family that is marked by fellowship. They enjoy one another. They share the common bond of love and life, and there is this affection amongst and in the midst of this family. There is what counts as fellowship. Do you know something about that? Do you know, if you were left to yourself, would you choose to company with the people of God, or would you prefer to find your company with those who do not know the Lord Jesus? Well, these family members, they enjoy one another. When we let them go, and it says when we ask, they went to their own company. They desire to be with one another because they were family. And I think of, in the realm of nature, you know, families, different families have what we call family reunions, and people look forward to going to family reunions. I look forward to the family reunion that's going to take place when this family that has eternal life is going to be caught out of this scene. And what a reunion that's going to be. Will you be there, then? You can be. The question is this simple. Have you received Christ? Is he the one you have for your life? He's spoken, as you know, in the Word of God that way. Christ, who is our life. Do you have him? John did, and his family, every family member had him, and they knew what fellowship was. And these things, verse 4, we write unto you that your joy may be dry. They can wait on you. They might be discouraged, that you might suffer the loss of all things in this world, never have another happy day in your life. Only the believers, only those who belong to this family can have the full joy that John is talking about. Do you know something about that thing tonight? Do you know what it is to have joy in the Lord? To rejoice that you belong to this family. You know him who is eternal life and your joy is full. Well, he wants you to be happy, but he knows, if you don't know it, that you cannot have full joy outside of this family. It's a wonderful, wonderful family to belong to, and happy family. This is the message, verse 5, that we heard of him, and he said to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now here's the other feature of this family. That God is light. Does that frighten you? Tonight, does it bother you that all things are naked and open before the eye of him with whom he has to be? You know, I find comfort in that, not because they're not in my heart, that which is dark and I'm ashamed of, but I'm glad that nothing is hid from God. And he knew all about me before he ever took me up. And he knew what he was getting when he took up his children. And that's why he said, you know, it's so bad. He took one of the finest specimens, I suppose, in Israel, and he said to him, Nicodemus, you came from a wonderful family background, but I want to tell you tonight, you know, you just must be born again. It's all about truth. And God is light, and does that make you uncomfortable? How would you think if you committed some crime and you were to come before a judge and they told you before you appeared before that judge, I have to tell you, this judge knows the truth, the whole truth of all truth. You wouldn't want to go, would you? But then, that's the case. The Lord is the judge, but he doesn't want to be. He wants to be your Savior. He knows the whole story. He won't need any witnesses. He knows the whole story. He is light, God is light, and in him is the darkness. If we stay without fellowship with him and walk in darkness through life, and do not the truth. You can't walk in this family and walk in darkness. This is where this family walks. This family walks in the light of God. Because it belongs to God. It has the nature from God that divine, Peter speaks of it as a divine nature. He has the light of Christ. And we walk in light. Now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, say, I don't want to be there with you. It's all dark. But if you think that way tonight, then it's so simple. It's so simple. You can say, Lord Jesus, I want you. That's my Savior. And come into this family. It is a close family. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you tonight to come in. He wants you to come in to this family that's walking in light. Then it says, if we walk in the light, if he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a wonderful thing, you know, it says we have fellowship one with another. Do you know about that? You know, I go to some of my family reunions, and I'm thankful they haven't thought of it in 2 years. They have what they call cousins, and probably within 2 minutes I got all that I commune about over with. But not clearly this family. In the family of God, you know how it is. If you've been visiting with a brother or a sister in the Lord, you're supposed to be visiting with each other. And it seems like you can never get done talking. Fellowship one with another. Why is that? It's because the subject is eternal. The eternal Son of God. You'll never tire of him. You'll never see all eternity run out of a conversation piece because it's going to be Christ. He belongs to this family that knows something about fellowship one with another. Well, there's something else about this family. It says in the end of verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Got that question of sin, don't we? You know, Nicodemus was told he had to be born again, but the Lord went on and raised the question of sin. You know, God can't overlook. I was born there in that family, subject to death because it was subject to sin. And as I grew up, committed sins, and the Lord can't overlook sins. I'm not sure if it's a new birth or the reception of eternal life isn't in itself enough. We've still got these things that belong to that whole family that need to be taken care of. Now, they've been taken care of. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them. Oh, you work or do you any good? I can remember going through a period of time in my life thinking that I did something bad, but well, I'm going to speak nothing. I'm not going to do it again. Good again, right. Because a sinner can only sin. And what we need is forgiveness of sin. Do you have it tonight, then? The forgiveness of sin. It's a wonderful thing to know you're forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. I suppose there are some who would say it tonight, but they have deceived themselves. It isn't God who told them they don't have sin. God has spoken plainly to them. None are excluded. All. No sense to trying to deceive yourself to something else. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all maliciousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and this really is not enough. That doesn't mean by you saying, I have not sinned, that God is a liar. God is totally a liar when you said it, no, no. It's by you saying that, you're saying God is a liar. You're saying it does not make God a liar. He has pronounced that upon every one of us here in this room. There is no man that cannot not. You can say, and sin. You can say God is told a lie, but sin he's never told a lie. He cannot, not only has he not, he cannot tell a lie. And so you might just as well own it and accept his pronouncement upon you and have those things taken away. I'd like to go to chapter 2 and chapter 2 letters. And see some of the things that John goes on to say to those who belong to this family, my little children. And that is the relationship that every child of God has with God. He knows God as the Father. It's an expression of affection. Why it says little children, it isn't the thought with Paul when he speaks of sons of God. It's like a sign you might see on a truck, maybe it would say Harper and Sons. What that sign means is that the Sons and Mr. Harper are co-owners of that business. And you could go to one of the Sons and do business with the Sons. It's an expression of privilege and maturity and position. But here, is an expression of affection. Little children. Well, do you think that way about the Father? Do you know God in that way? One, he loves you. Well, it's a wonderful thing to know God as your Father. And just to relax in his arms and recline with the conscious knowledge that you are loved and seen. Little children, my little children, why did he say mine? Is John their father? No. But it's John's ministry that opens this relationship up to it. Paul doesn't give it like John does. No other apostle gives it like John does. We learn this relationship from the apostle John. We've been brought into this affection, this circle of affection and family, children in this family. I say unto you that you sin not, this behavior connected with this relationship? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Wouldn't you like to belong to a family that, if you sin, you're not cut off out of that home? That's what it says here. It isn't an advocate with God, it's an advocate with the Father. If one of his children sin, the relationship with the Father does not change. Wouldn't you like to have the sense in your soul that this relationship in this family of God does not depend upon your perception? Upon you living a sinless life, oh, I sympathize for those of your soul who think, yes, we got saved yesterday, but if we sin, gotta start all over again. No. John says, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You're still in the family. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, or for the whole world. That is the work of Christ. It is that enables me tonight to stand up here and say, I am a child of God, and God wants you to be one of his children too. The work of Christ is of such sufficiency to God that he can now say, whosoever will, let him taste of the water of life freely. Oh, I'm so glad I live today. Because today, the work of Christ is accomplished. And the blessing of God is not confined to any nationality. It's not confined to any particular family. You know, it's open to all. To all. Won't you come tonight? Well, it says, hereby we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This family values God's thought, values his Father's thought, and it does his Father's belief. They keep his commandments. That's how, you know, later you can read about Cain. He didn't belong to that family. He was of the wicked one. He didn't keep the Father's commandments. His family has an interest in what the Father has to say. Whoso keepeth his words. Verse 5. In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Quite a standard, isn't it? I've been enjoying that lately. Men make up certain standards and they say, you know, if you're an athlete, well, when I was a young lad, I didn't have any interest in track, but I did in sports, so I came to know that there was a young man down in Texas, his name was Wes Santee. There were two men over in England. One of them was John Landy, I think, and one was Roger Bannister. And man had set a standard that no one could break. No one could run, I think it was a mile in 4 minutes. Two of those three men did. I suppose now they've got a higher standard that they've said, well, maybe we were wrong about 4 minutes, so we'll bring it down a little bit. Men set standards and adjust the standards so they attain to those standards. But the other thing, Christ is God's standard, and he will accept nothing less. So if you're going to give to glory as a family member, you're going to have to be accepted in the beloved. Accepted in Christ. Tonight, are you in Christ? You can be. Only you are keeping yourself out when he comes in tonight. Receive him and come into this family. Christ is God's family. I enjoy thinking someone wrote to me about Job, and God's commendation of Job is a wonderful thing. I enjoy it this way. If I were illustrating it tonight, it would be like, he just sang, me, Jim, and lined us all up, and Job, and he said, lined us all up in this room and brought Job into the room. Job was head and shoulders above us all. That's what God says. There's none like him in all the earth. Lined them all up. And Job surpassed us all. And Job said, and that's right. He spent the whole book of Job saying, God's estimation is right about me. God said it. I'm the best thing in all the earth, and I agree with God. And so, as speaking of figures, God took Job up to heaven. I say, I speak in figures, and stood him beside Jesus. And Job said, I abhor myself. Oh, friends, the word says, comparing yourself among yourselves and not with Christ is God's family. And if you ever got this close to his presence, I mean if you get anywhere near to his presence, you're going to abhor yourself. You have, I'm sure. Well, Christ is God's family. But he is also God's life. Well, he says down in, after telling us we ought to walk as he walked, brethren, or beloved, I think that could be translated. Don't you love that? You know, someone says, dear brother, I like that, but it doesn't say, beloved brother, I like it better. And John says, beloved. That's the trait of this family. It's a family of love. They love one another. He said, beloved, I write not a new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning, that is, when they saw Christ, eternal life manifested. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. That is, Christ's love. Now, that's true of you. Not only is it true of Christ, but it's true of you that you love one another. Shouldn't you like to be able to love as Christ loved? The old commandment was that Christ manifested this love to others. The new commandment is that it's now true of these children. We love one another. It's a wonderful, wonderful family trait. And it's a wonderful family, friends, to be in. Then he says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is gone, and the true light now shines. It's a wonderful thing to have done with darkness. Men love darkness. God loves light. Men walk in darkness because their deeds are evil. The believer walks in light. He loves to have everything manifested, but the darkness is passing from him. And for you, if you reject him who is the light, you're going to enter into a darkness that will never, never pass. If there were one truth in the Bible, that I would change if I could, it would be the truth of eternal damnation. But then I think of what man has done to God's Son. When God gave him up, as it were, it says, this is your Lord, and the power of darkness manifests, man, what you think of this eternal life that has been manifested amongst you, that has displayed to you love, that has taken your sick and healed them. Manifest, man, what is in your heart. This is your hour in the power of darkness. What did man manifest? Hatred to this sin. And when I think of that, I realize that God is just. In his judgment of such a response to him, he is eternal. Well, the other thing, what family do you belong to tonight? The family you were born into is not enough. What family do you belong to? He that loveth his brother abideth in life. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I'd like to go down now and look at verse 12, where he takes up the family. You know, you look in nature at a family, and you see a little baby, and maybe you see one a little further along, and then maybe you see one that you would call your son. That is a fully matured adult. Well, this family, the family of God, has, none of them have more life than the other, but there is different degrees of maturity or growth in this family. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Well, the fathers, they know him. That is from the beginning. Now that is mature as you can get in Christianity. That is come to know him. There's nothing beyond him, and that brings mature. The man of God who walks with him becomes acquainted with him, and you can't go beyond that. There's nothing beyond the Lord. There's no knowledge that is beyond him. There's nothing. Do you know him? The fathers knew him. The children, the young men, they overcame the wicked one. And the little ones, they knew the father. I like that. You watch, you know, after meeting, it happens frequently. You watch these little ones, they're just beginning to walk, and they'll power along. And they'll grab hold of somebody's pant leg. They think it's the body. And then they let go. And then they might not even be able to say that. So what do? They let go. They go look. They know the body. You know, the littlest one, Mr. Brown used to remind us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, he said, those are those infant sounds from a baby's lips. It says, Dada, Mama. They know who they belong to. How long does it take a baby to know its father? Well, go up to some of those who are pretty young that the father is holding and see if you can get them away from them. The little ones knew the father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, verse 14. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Here are young men who are strong in the family of God. Why? Because the word of God abides in them, and it has enabled them to overcome the wicked one. Are you a young man, Christian? This is what God expects from you if you're in this family. He expects that the word of God abides in you and makes you strong. I enjoy the strength of young men. You don't realize it. You know, sometimes I haven't realized how much strength has gone away from me until I am in the presence of young men and see the strength that they have. But what about it spiritually, young men? What do you know about an acquaintance with the Word of God as the empowering strength in you? Where does it belong in your life? Well, young men have the Word of God. It enables them to overcome, to make them strong. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't say the Father doesn't love him. The love of the Father is not in him. You know, what is going to keep you from the world and its pursuit? It's the love of the Father being in you, going through this world with a conscious sense in your soul that the Father is in you. I love that. The Lord said about his Father, my Father is greater than all. Wonderful, isn't it, to have a Father that's greater than all. As a little boy, we didn't live in a Christian home, but I remember as a little boy crouching before the radio. I liked to listen to mysteries on the radio. And some one of them was called the FBI in Peace and War. And it always ended with an announcement of someone who had escaped from a penitentiary, and it was that loose, and it described a nightmare. And I would compare the description of that bad man with my father. And my father was greater than him. I did sleep that night. You know God like that. Is God greater than any who would try to pluck you out of the home in your soul? Why do we, brethren, who know him as our Father, why do we find ourselves distressed and worried and fretting? Because we have lost sight of this wonderful truth. My Father is greater than we know him. These fathers knew him. And to little children, verse 18, it is the last time. And we have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last. Talking to the little ones now. And he says, Antichrist has come. I'm going to close with this. It's the last time. But notice this word is to the little one. Who is Antichrist? Antichrist and Antichrist is one who is against Christ. The Antichrist, the man of sin, will set himself as Christ before the children of Israel. But tonight in your life, little children, there's someone against Christ. and against him. And they're vying, he's vying for your soul, trying to get you away from him who is Christ. Come listen to him. Are you going to come to the Lord Jesus? Enter this family by grace. Be born. Receive him who is eternal. Enjoy this family. And you know, it's a wonderful family to be with. It's a family that will equip all other family relationships that you may have ever known. Dear as I know it's true. Can you say this to the Lord Jesus? I will go. I want you to think of the Lord Jesus as if you were going to say these words to him. I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God. Oh, what a declaration. What a decision that young lady made that day to identify herself with the people. Won't you come tonight? Come into this family by receiving the Lord Jesus, that one who is eternal. And we had it this morning in the language of Scripture. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right for privilege to become the children.